Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Everybody, welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. I can't tell you how excited I am. You probably heard my voice. I'm actually really kind of nervous about this episode. I have the opportunity of having a dear friend on the show. I've listened to literally hundreds of his episodes. Nathan Latka, welcome to the show.
Dave Woodward, my man. Good to see you.
It is so much fun. So for those of you guys who don't know Nathan, his original podcast I fell in love with was The Top, but it's now Nathan Latka, and so you can go ahead and listen to that. But the part I was so fascinated by was this ability that you have literally in like 20 minutes to drill down numbers. I've never known anyone who knows numbers like you do, Nathan. And to get to extract the kind of data from founders and CEOs and others. I remember every time you've had Russell and Todd on, we're always super nervous about making sure we know exactly what our numbers are because you'll call us out on it. So I will never forget.
I believe it was 2018 when Russell and Todd came on. They came on together. I rarely do two founders, but they came on together. And it was fascinating for me to watch the interplay between the two because, you know, most people, like at least early on, I think didn't know Todd because Russell was, you know, that's Russell, right? But then you meet this Todd who's a genius too. And you realize, you know, Todd's telling me, Nathan, you know, $1 million a month comes from just our powered buy button that we installed, right? I'm sure it's much more now. And just seeing them operate together was fascinating. So no, I appreciate you. And, you know, there's something I enjoy about meeting founders and breaking down all the numbers.
Oh, you did a great job. In addition to that, Nathan is a New York, or is a Wall Street Journal bestselling author, a book I've bought for my own kids, a book I've read myself. And again, we're going to dive in and talk to you a lot about this, primarily because it's all about capitalism and how to become a capitalist without capital is probably one of the things I'm most excited about these days because people, they struggle so much with money. It's the one thing everyone always struggles with. Oh, I would do it if I had blank. So we're going to dive right into this whole idea of how to become a capitalist without any capital. Definitely want to send you to NathanLatka.com. Make sure you get a copy of the book yourself. But with that, Nathan, I want to kind of take a step back and help people understand. One of the things that I found most fascinating as I was listening to some of your podcasts was this idea of you. So you live in Austin, and all of a sudden you're out there basically negotiating buying a food truck. And I was like, what? What is he doing? How is he doing this? So anyways, we'll kind of kick things off there, but I want to find out from you, how did you get so involved in this capitalist idea?
Well, I will tell you first, I also had no idea what I was doing when I was trying to buy this food truck, but I tell you what I did know. We live in a world today where attention is everything. If you can't command attention, nothing else matters. In fact, many people would argue today that financial capital follows where eyeballs are. Absolutely. It used to be you could buy eyeballs, but like you saw what just happened with Quibi.
Yeah.
And Katzenberg tries to put $2 billion into Quibi and it fails. You cannot buy attention. That's why when you guys host, right, your events and you rent out a whole town to host these, the community around ClickFunnels and the Comma Club, and you see that is a major asset that no VC-backed competitor can ever try and take that from you. And so that was the emphasis behind that video I shot on my Facebook Live back in 2017. I said, you know what, let me just take my checkbook, let me walk down Rainy Street in Austin and try and buy a random food truck on the spot. And that's what I did. And 1.2 million people tuned in. And then it was a question of what do you do with attention once you have it?
So what exactly, first of all, people are going, well, how in the world did you even get to that point? I want to kind of take a step back because I was fascinated with when you were in college and the ideas that you came through really from a real estate mind. And for those of you guys who don't know where Nathan's at now, I mean, Founders Path is basically another business that you run, and Founder Path funds basically provides income and loans to SaaS companies like us or others. But you've come a long way since
you guys don't need the cash right now. I think you guys probably sent on a nice big pot of it. But yeah, the quick on Founder Path, and then I'll go back to college. Like, we're just turning monthly recurring revenue into upfront cash. Connect to Founder Path. If you use Stripe and have someone paying $100 a month, we'll give you $1,000 today for that receivable. And it's a good way to fund your business without selling equity or taking on debt.
I love that. We're going to come back to that later, but let's jump back to your college days. And this idea is, as far as becoming a capitalist.
Well, I mean, this was sad for me, and I think more sad for my mom. But I grew up loving Lincoln Logs and Kinects and Legos. I grew up in the woods of Northern Virginia, and I loved architecture. And so Tech was the number one architecture program in the country, followed by Cornell. And so when I got in there, Dave, I was sitting in this massive studio. Actually, it looked a lot like the big open area, right? All these desks. And I was sitting next to fifth years as a freshman, and they were saying things like, Nathan, like, we can't find a job. And this is the number one program in the country, and they can't find, now it was 2008, right? Nobody was hiring architects. But I'm going, why would I put myself through 5 years of college like this and not have a guaranteed job at the end of it? And that's when I said, I got to figure out a way to make my own money. And that's when I started selling custom Facebook fan pages.
I love it. Custom Facebook fan pages.
You remember those days?
I was going to say, most people listening to this probably go, I don't even know what that is.
I bet some of you folks, you traffic funnel folks, the traffic hackers listening, funnel hackers listening, I bet you remember those FBML days, those templates.
I totally remember those things. Yeah. I talked to you those myself.
Yeah. You drag and drop those things together. We would just help companies. Actually, you guys are way bigger than me, but what ClickFunnels does in your interface with the drag and drop funnels, we basically enable people to drag and drop together Facebook apps with a WYSIWYG editor.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, tell me, because I think that the part I'm fascinated, when you go to NathanLatka.com, you basically have the four different boxes there that then breaks down the different scenarios as well. Help people understand what those four models are.
Yeah. So first off, the book was a big struggle for me to write. You know, Dave, we're podcasters. Yep. We like to talk. And I thought, I'll just get an Airbnb in the woods for a week and crank out 70,000 words. And like a squirrel one's buying it's a squirrel. I mean, I get nothing done. So what I did instead was I said, let me just document and share process instead of trying to write this big, beautiful book. And so that is what my book is. It is basically between my age of 19 and 27, a collection of short stories, 100-ish stories on things I did to try and make money, whether it was a real estate deal or using, you know, buying an Instagram account for $3,000 on a weird Telegram group and then saving $60,000 in hotel penthouse expenses, trading Instagram posts or just random stuff. And so what happened was the four rules in the book are basically things that I believe society tries to teach people to keep them poor. And you might go, well, wait. Why would society want that? Well, you have to remember, when someone's wealthy and they've climbed the ladder of success, they then want to protect that wealth. There's a reason Jeff Bezos hires an army of lobbyists to preserve the monopoly he's built, which, by the way, I love Jeff Bezos. We need those sort of icons. But point is, they're going to remove some of the rungs of the ladder of success to make it more difficult for us to climb up. And I tried to identify what rungs they removed. What are we being sold that is not accurate? The first one, and this is the biggest, and this is the, don't read the book, take this one thing away. You have to copy people and then add your own spin. There's a lot of entrepreneurs listening right now that are thinking, I really want to launch this thing I saw a competitor do, but I have to find some excuse to change it so they can't accuse me of copying. And I would say, no, your competitor spent millions of dollars figuring that thing out already. Copy it, then add your own twist and out execute. And so that's the first part of the book. Copy.
Like, yes, now I love it. No, it's funny because we talked to we're going back to our original funnel hacking days. Every time we talk about funnel hacking, it's along those same lines to basically go out and find someone who's already successful and model it. And I think that's the main thing we really focus so much on is this whole idea of modeling, because too often I think people struggle trying to figure and start it all from scratch. I'm going to just do it all myself and no one else knows what I know. And yeah. I love that idea that that you've had a lot of success with.
Well, when your template marketplace, I mean, is a function of this, right? People yeah. saying, this template worked for us, this funnel worked for us, let's add it to the ClickFunnels template library and let other people copy it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell me, how did Heyo come about?
Yes, so Heyo.com, which is still up today, you guys can go visit it. This was my first software company I built in my dorm room at Virginia Tech. It started off as an agency, like a lot of SaaS companies do. I don't know, was ClickFunnels originally an agency?
Yeah.
Okay, nope. You guys weren't. Okay. I was an agency. So I was selling custom development, $800 fan pages. I sold about 100 of them pre-sold. And then I hated doing the work. And I'm like, can I just hire a developer and build a drag and drop editor so people can just pay me a fee per month and they can just build it themselves and I just collect money while I sleep? And so that's what Heyo was. I went to the Virginia Tech Entrepreneurship Club. I said, the first two engineers to raise your hand get 40% of the business. I said actually one engineer and then two, and I split it. So I sold 40% of the business not knowing these people. Big mistake. But point being, Heyo was a software company that thousands of people paid $30 a month for to drag and drop together Facebook apps. We grew it to about $1 million run rate, and then I made the big mistake of raising VC. And I can talk more about that later, but it was a big mistake.
Well, honestly, I was impressed. I've had the opportunity of hearing you talk quite a bit about some of the behind the scenes at different times of Heyo. It's funny as you mentioned that, because being bootstrapped, that's been our biggest thing, is anti-VC. I get, as you know, I get phone calls all the time from growth equity, private equity people saying, no.
You'd be rich. Every email you say, I'll take a call with you, but it's $5,000 per hour. Every hour I spent $5,000 per hour, Dave Woodward would be a rich, richer than he is now.
Thank you. But no, I'm fascinated with this whole idea. When do you actually take on money? I was talking with Ryan Moran a while back, and he's all about, taking on money real fast, taking on early. And his whole idea is, I'd rather have just a small piece of a large thing than a large piece of a small pie. So I know you've gone back and forth, and you've spoken to so many founders. When is the right time?
Well, by the way, that's what everybody says. But Sam Carr was launched in 2014. Right. And he just closed a $10 million round, I think, 2 or 3 days ago. Right. So any founder that takes capital is going to say, I'm playing for a bigger pie. The issue is, when the pie doesn't work out to be that big, then what? That's the issue. And so the way I think about this is, it's really a capital allocation question. If there is a crystal clear path, crystal clear, where you can take on money, right, and deploy it quickly, you raise capital. Right. But if it's not crystal clear, you don't do it. And ideally, by the way, you build an engine that doesn't require outside capital. You are giving up, you are selling a part of your company when you raise capital. And so finding ways to pull your CAC and make it all back, right? You guys have read Russell's books, make it all back the first time they hit your cart, because you upsell a book, a USB drive with your podcast episode downloaded on it, and a coaching program, and then you sell them a $97 ClickFunnels thing. That is how you want to do it. So I'm actually cannot think of many scenarios where taking capital in today's world makes sense.
Appreciate that. I can tell you that, we talk so often about this idea of a break-even funnel. And the idea behind this is, you're really trying to find a way of acquiring customers for free. And you made mention as far as CAC, so your cost to acquire a customer, anytime you can get your cost to acquire a customer to be the same as your average card value, you've got to win, because now you've got a whole bunch of customers for free, and now you're just helping to send them up your value ladder. And I think that for those of you guys who are listening, if you haven't read Russell's books, obviously you just go to any of the books, Dotcom Secrets, Traffic Secrets, Expert Secrets, or just the Secrets Trilogy. But the thing I'm most fascinated by, as I've watched you navigate the waters that you've gone through, Nathan, is you have this amazing ability to connect with people at a level that far surpasses anything I've ever seen. I mean, you're able to, as you're speaking to people, to really build a relationship at a very fast pace. And then most importantly, to actually have that relationship last for a very, very long time. You were on Dan Martell. I know you've known Dan for quite some time, and one of the coaches I've hired for years. But it's been fascinating for me just to watch you do this. And I'm kind of curious, relationships, we talked earlier about this idea of eyeballs and of getting attention. And most of that really comes down, at least to me, Billy, and able to build those kind of relationships. So any advice you would give to people here on how you go about building the deep relationships that you do?
Well, I have to share something surprising with you. If I go in to my 2020 Libsyn backend, where I host my podcast, and I sort from most downloaded episode to least downloaded episode, and you look at the top five, they were all ones where there was a ton of conflict. We, and I'm not talking like we slightly disagreed. I'm talking, we shut down the interview because it was so bad and we were in a yelling match. I'm talking, one of the most downloaded was one, I interviewed this guy named Iran Eyal, who built did an ICO called Shopin. The SEC, the US government, ended up using the podcast interview in the deposition to commit him to a $40 million fraud, and he had to leave the country. Right. So this is actually what's very difficult about Facebook too. When you look at like ad spend, violence sells clicks or conflict. And so when you have a loving relationship like what we're having right now, and we don't generally disagree, you actually will just get less eyeballs than if there was real natural conflict. I think this is a major issue I don't have the answer to, but point being is, I'm economically incentivized to create conflict because I sell sponsor revenue.
Sure.
Right. but I don't enjoy that all the time. Sometimes I do a good debate, but I don't always enjoy it. So, I mean, to your answer in terms of like connecting with people, I mean, today I did 30 interviews back to back. I'm wrapping up the day with you for my show. I'm wrapping up with you, but like, you just have to care. Like I don't know how to say it. You just have to care.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. I think the part that I've appreciated on just your ability to care is it comes across so authentic that the people you care about the most are your actual listeners. And I think that, you know, so often you get on a podcast like this and yes, I've total admiration for everything that you've done and a ton of appreciation just to see all that you've built. But I think the part as you and I are even talking is I'm thinking of people who are listening to this, what are the things that I can somehow get out of Nathan that would provide value to my listeners? I've seen you do the exact same thing with your audience. And it's fascinating for me to see, again, the conflict is because you will call someone out on their numbers if they're not right, if they don't know their numbers, if there's any BS, you're like, no, those don't add up. And I think because of that, people go, he's not just putting up another podcast just to make ad revenue. He really does care about me as a listener because he will call out anybody. And I've been amazed. I felt so sorry for some of the people who you were interviewing because I'm like, oh my gosh, I would feel like crap if I was the person on the other side of that interview. And so I guess a better question for you is, how have you been able to connect so deeply with your audiences?
It is actually because you know exactly what you stand against. Actually, the deeper your enemy is, the more allied your lovers are, if that makes sense. Yeah. In other words, acquiring your CAC on haters, right, is just as important as your CAC on lovers. And it's actually usually cheaper to acquire haters, right? So the economics are better. But you have to have polarizing functions because then when they collide, word of mouth takes over. You have a lover arguing for you, like you, and then you have someone who hates me saying, no, I don't like Nathan for this. But all that matters is the talk is happening and sales will happen. And so, I mean, this is why, like you see, Vox put out this article about me that basically called me a con man. The reason that happened was because there were two venture-backed founders I had on my show bragging that they were beating and fastest growing in the market. And I hit them so hard that the board, after the interview, sent me cease and desist letters to not publish it. Because they were exaggerating. It was house of lies, basically. And I said, I'm going to publish it three times. It was so good. So, of course, they go to KKR-backed Vox, which is now failing, by the way. Vox has lost its founder. His founder left, Ezra. It's failing miserably, but they wanted a clickbait headline with my name in it. So they call me a con man. The point being, though, is I didn't send that to people who know me in person, who know how caring I am. They then basically get energized by that negativity and then give me more iTunes reviews.
I love it.
So like you have to, most people can't do that because they would be destroyed emotionally if they ever saw a mainstream press outlet call them a con man. For me, it's really important to create this dichotomy because it empowers both sides.
Oh man, I love that. I think so often people, even you guys who are listening, are trying just to play the middle of the road. You cannot in any type of sales play the middle of the road. I don't care what your product is. You will never, if you think your product's going to appeal to absolutely everybody, it appeals to no one. And it's been fun for us, you know, with ClickFunnels, we've thrown rocks at our enemies from the very beginning. First it was lead pages and then ConfusionSoft and on and on. And I think that it's been funny for me to see now some of the people are trying to knock us off are now trying to throw stones at us using our playbook, which is quite admirable.
Pretty funny, isn't it? It's pretty funny, huh?
Yeah.
Are there any you're worried about?
You know what? The one I'm always the most worried about is the one I don't know. It's the ones I know about, doesn't bother me. It's the one I don't know that is the sleeping giant that all of a sudden, woof, out of nowhere comes around. I mean, we got a lot of people who will white label an existing software or something like that. And it's like, that's not a real company. And so it's just interesting. I think the main thing though, that I've learned through all of this, at least us personally, is the importance of continually innovating. And we've got some amazing things that we're going to be releasing at our birthday launch at Funnel Hacking Live here in September.
What's is it? Is it the decade? Is it 10 years?
Seven years.
Seven. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like it. Yeah. It's only been seven.
No, it's you guys are running the playbook for how to bootstrap a B2B SaaS company. I can count on one hand the other bootstrap SaaS companies that have truly not raised outside capital that are north of $100 million run rates. So you guys are in very rare territory.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, Nathan, I know you've got a busy schedule. I appreciate your time. Is there any parting words you want to give to our audience?
You know, guys, again, just you're hanging out with the right people. Hang out with Woodward more, hang out with the crew more. If I can be helpful, please let me know. You know, I use ClickFunnels. You know, I launched this magazine after reading Russell's book because we did free shipping, the $8.99 thing. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to try a different headline. I'm going to say it's 5 times the price of Forbes and charge $29 per issue plus shipping. And with my audience, it worked. So like that's the awesome. Key is like, take what you ClickFunnels is teaching, but guys, don't be scared to add your own twist. Based to let you know about your market. It's a great thing to build off of. So I encourage you to do that.
I love it. Well, where do they get your book?
NathanLacka.com. Yeah. And I appreciate, by the way, I think you've read it. You've asked questions. It was clear you've read it. So I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. And my kids have as well.
That's great.
Nathan, thanks so much, bud.
Thanks, Dave.
Well, I hope you absolutely loved all the value of that podcast. Speaking of value right now, one of the things we're really trying to do is over-deliver. And the thing we've seen that has probably created the greatest opportunity for us to over-deliver to all of you, and that is our One Funnel Away Challenge. In fact, you can actually see it at clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. Again, clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA. If you've gone through the One Funnel Away Challenge in the past, this is something totally new. We started the One Funnel Away Challenge back in 2018, and it is now 2.5 years later, we decided to completely redo it. Everything brand new. Simplifying the process, making it just as easy as possible for you to get results quick. Just spend 30 minutes every single day, and what you're going to get is Russell teaching you exactly what you need to do to get your funnel up and running in the next 30 days. So go to clickfunnelsradio.com/OFA, and you can get all the details there. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.